Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 323, Demon Spoilers. Senior Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, June 25th, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right, praise the Lord, everybody. So I'm sorry you had to lay down on your side to see that, right? But I guess we should have tested it out before we put it up there. But that was worship from Jesus' hometown, Nazareth. So pretty amazing Arab Christian church in Nazareth. Pastor Salim Shalash. Pastor Karen and I were there with Pastor Dwayne Sheriff and his wife Sue, ministering in that church and worshiping with the Arab Christians in Nazareth. Had an amazing, amazing tour of Nazareth, Jesus' boyhood town, where they took us to the place where Mary would have seen the angel Gabriel. And how awesome is that? Amen. And to see where Joseph's house would have been and how he was a builder, not a carpenter, and why Jesus maybe used building illustrations, because his father was a builder, and just amazing stuff. It was really, really great. Pastor Karen, you want to come and just say a few words about that, because you were there with me sometimes? Hallelujah.
Yes.
She was just waiting. She was saying, can I come up, you know?
It was awesome. This Arab pastor is really close friends with Pastor Israel, and the two of them are like peas in a pod. He loves history, and he said when he got saved, when he truly surrendered to Jesus, he was raised as a Christian. His family were Christians, but he wasn't on fire for the Lord or anything. But when he truly got saved, he said a love for Israel came into his heart. And you sense that. He truly loves Israel and the Jewish nation. We've been to Nazareth before, and we've been on tours to Nazareth also, all of Israel. But we've never learned like we did this time, because he's traveled over some parts of Israel, but for the most part, he's never been out of Nazareth. So he knows it and was able to share things that we'd never heard before. So it was fantastic. They love the Lord. They're a happy, happy group, as you probably sensed from that worship song. So it was a real blessing for us to learn to know them and be there. And I think the one thing that Pastor Israel has always tried to stress, and Pastor Salim also, that the Jewish and Arab people are side by side. They're not striving. Once an Arab is saved, he loves Israel. And you see that. You see how they support one another. So that was good.
Amen. They have conferences together. They have worship times together. Their kids, their youth get together. Something you will never see on CNN, NBC, CBS, and all of those places that try to purport what the truth is about the Middle East and the Holy Land, in particular the nation of Israel. So anyway, it was exciting, an exciting part of our time there. We spent some other time in some Israeli Jewish churches, congregations, Messianic congregations. We preached in Eilat and also in Rishon LeZion with some of our pastor friends there. So really, really amazing, amazing time. So thank you for praying for us. It wasn't just vacation. It was a time of ministry for us. And got to meet lots of new friends, too, from all over the world. On the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, we had people from 50 nations there. Almost 500 people, maybe over 500 people at the various events of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast were received by the Knesset, the The speaker of the Knesset came and addressed the group, which is amazing. They don't have to do that. He was busy. He was in the middle of a legislative, some legislative event, and he took time to come in there with his entourage of guards and everything. It was amazing, pretty amazing time. So thank you again for praying, and thank you for making these kinds of things possible with your giving and with your sowing, because God is really moving in a powerful way. So a lot of our missions money goes to Israel. We really are supportive of the work that's going on there, the ministry that's going on. And the exciting thing is maybe since the day of Pentecost, there have never been so many Jewish people coming to know Yeshua, their Messiah. And it's a really an exciting, exciting time. Praise the Lord. So I know some people just say, well, you know, the Bible says it won't happen till the end times, and then Israel will all be saved in a day. Well, it's happening already. So maybe you should get ready for the end times. Okay. Because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back really, really, really soon. Praise the Lord. So praise God. Well, let's just lift our voices and worship God for a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you and praise you for everything that you're doing in our hearts, in our lives, in this place, in this city, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for your moving by your Spirit through the tent meetings that we had in this past month. We ask you, Lord God, that the fruit that comes from that, that it will remain. We thank you, Father God, for blessing those who were there and part of the fellowship, part of the fellowshipping with us, including the lady running for governor, Jamie Rittenour, Father, who addressed us on that Sunday morning on May 28th. We ask you, Lord God, that you will raise up Christian leaders, Lord, across our state, believers, Father, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father God, for moving in our land in an unprecedented way in these days and weeks to come, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 says, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Don't make rash promises. And don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you are here on earth. So let your words be few. So, wow. What an admonition. Because our mouths often get us into trouble. Sometimes a lot of trouble. And sometimes we just give the devil too much glory, you know? You know, we grumble and complain. We're whining and moaning. Essentially talking about how big and bad the devil is. And we often paint ourselves into the picture as the biggest loser. And I'm not talking about obesity here. We just, you know, feel like we're on the losing end. He's on the winning end, and there's no way out. But this is what the Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. But I promise you, no weapon meant to hurt you will succeed. God says, I promise you that no weapon meant to hurt you will succeed. I know sometimes we've memorized this as no weapon formed against you will prosper, but I think this is a better way of saying it. No weapon meant to hurt you will succeed. That's God's promise to you. It's his promise to you today, this morning, here in this place. Yeah, it was the words of Isaiah to his people then. But it's his word to you now. And he says, and you will refute every accusing word spoken against you. Think about that. Sometimes we're really worried about what people say about us and say against us. But God says, no weapon meant to hurt you will succeed. And he says, every accusing word spoken against you, you will refute. That means you'll turn it back. It'll roll off you like water off of a duck's back. This promise is the inheritance of Yahweh's servants, of the Lord's servants. This promise is the inheritance of the Lord's servants. You know, when you get an inheritance, it belongs to you.
Yes.
You know, you may have to sign the papers somewhere, but once you sign the papers, it's yours. You have a legal right to it. Nobody can take it away from you. It belongs to you. It's your inheritance. This promise is the inheritance of Yahweh's servants. Another translation says it this way. I think it's New Living says, these benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. And their vindication is from me, says Yahweh. Their vindication is from me. So you don't have to defend yourself because God's going to defend you. And he's going to take care of you. And it doesn't matter what people say or think about you. It doesn't matter what they do. You know, we're living in really, really crazy times. You know, some denominations are kicking out whole churches because they have women preachers. I mean, I guess they didn't read the Bible. You know, the first preacher of the resurrection was a woman. The men were locked up behind closed doors. Bible says they were afraid. But there was a bold woman that Jesus said, go tell John and go tell Peter that I'm alive. I am risen. So she was really had the privilege of being the first New Testament preacher. Praise the Lord. Yeah, and I know Paul wrote about women should be silent in the church, but he wasn't talking about women preachers. I can assure you of that. If you read the history of it and you read what's behind that, you will, and read it in context, you will understand it's not about women preachers. Paul even commended women preachers who had churches in their house. So amazing things are going on. Then there's other denominations that are going totally against Romans chapter 1. You know, they're ordaining homosexuals, gays, and lesbians into the ministry. How crazy is that? I mean, read Romans chapter 1, see what it says. So we live in an upside-down world where crazy stuff is going on. But it's time for God's people to stick to the Word, stick to the Bible, and be obedient to the voice of God, listen to the voice of God, and be unafraid, be unashamed. And if we have to take some heat for it, we'll just take some heat for it. Because God is on the throne, and he just made a big promise to us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And any weapon meant to hurt us will not succeed. So praise God for that. So but let's take a look in the book, because even Jesus faced many significant challenges to his authority, and he received many challenges to his ministry. It's all over the New Testament. The Gospels are full of times that Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and had enemies. And he called them out for it. Sometimes he called them snakes and vipers, whitewashed tombs, sons of the devil. I mean, you can't get much stronger than that, right? So Jesus wasn't a namby-pamby preacher. You know, he was ready to call out sin. He was ready to call out unrighteousness, but he was also preaching the good news, the gospel that brought grace and blessing into the lives of people. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So let's take a look at this, because this is how it's supposed to work. You know, you remember when Jesus went to his hometown, where Pastor Karen and I just visited, when he went to his hometown and he began to preach in the synagogue at Nazareth, which we actually visited where that would have been. There's a church built over it now. But when he preached there, they rejected him. in his own hometown. They should have loved him, but they rejected him. You know, the Bible says that they gave him the book of Isaiah, and he began to read the book of Isaiah about what God said through the mouth of Isaiah about him and about his ministry. You know, how he would set the captives free and open the prisoners and so forth, and how he would bring blessing to his people. And he said to them, before he sat down, he said to them, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Amen. In other words, you hear this, you're looking at him right now. And it made him angry. Made him really mad. It says in verse 28 of Luke chapter 4 that when everyone present heard Jesus' words, they erupted with furious rage. I mean, look, this is a church service. So maybe you've seen some stuff happen in church services, but these people erupted in furious rage against the magnificent, wonderful Son of the living God, sent to be their Messiah. They mobbed Jesus and threw him out of the city, his hometown, dragging him to the edge of the cliff on the hill on which the city had been built, ready to hurl him off the cliff. So the idea wasn't that they just threw him off the cliff. The idea was, when they hit the bottom, they rocked him to sleep. That was the general meaning of this. So sometimes they take you to the tour site where they say Jesus was thrown off. That probably isn't the right place, we learned, because if they threw him off of that place, they wouldn't be rocking him to sleep, because it's a long ways down there and it's overlooking the Valley of Megiddo. But there is a hill near where the synagogue would have been that this could have happened, where they would have stoned him to death right in that spot. Now, we know that God has timing. Amen? So what does it say Jesus did? It says he walked right through the crowd. How do you walk through a crowd that drags you to the edge and is going to throw you off the cliff? He walked right through the crowd, leaving them all stunned. I imagine you would be too. But remember the promise of Isaiah. He was reading out of the book of Isaiah, not this passage that we just read. But to get to the passage he read, he would have had to already have read Isaiah 54:17. But I promise you, no weapon meant to hurt you will succeed. So when stuff comes against you, and you got problems with people, don't be afraid and don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God to salvation to every person who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. God is a mighty God, and he will keep his word, and he'll keep it for you. So you may have trouble with people, but when you have trouble with people and they're troubling you, very likely they're not troubling you, they're troubling him. And the Bible says vindication comes from him. So don't sweat the small stuff. Jesus is still on the throne. He is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you're on the word side, the gospel side, you're on the right side. And he will vindicate you every time. It's a promise. It's an inheritance. So that's how it's supposed to work. You see, Jesus basically called these folks out, and they didn't like it. And as his ministry increased, he began to encounter more and more opposition. So, you know, if you think things are bad today, wait till your ministry grows a little bit. You'll probably get some more heat. But Jesus is still Lord. And if you're on his side, you're on the right side. So you don't have to worry about defending yourself, because nobody could defend you better than him and the Holy Spirit and all the angels that he's got around him. You know, there came a time when Jesus was in the garden and his disciples wanted to fight to defend him. And he said to them, "Don't you think I could call 12 legions of angels to defend me?" That meant that he could do it. He just at that moment chose not to, because now was the time that he was to face what he was to face, and he had just prayed through. Three times he went to God and said, "You know, if there's any other way, just let's do it the other way." So sometimes you're in that place where you say, "Lord, there's some other way. Can we do this some other way? Can you fix this thing really quick?" But his grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect where you're weak. So don't sweat the small stuff. He's got you covered. If you're on his side, you're on the right side. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk to you this morning about demon spoilers. You know, a spoiler is somebody that comes in and spoils the fun of those that have a plan. On the surface, well, let's just go back for a second from Luke chapter 4. You know, what was Jesus' mission? So he had read his mission. It's recorded in Luke 4, verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to be hope for the poor, healing for the brokenhearted, new eyes for the blind, to preach to the prisoners, 'You are set free.' I have come to share the message of Jubilee, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun." Seems like a good mission. Seems like an amazing time. And yet they rejected him. On the surface, it looked like men were his problem. Their hatred, their opposition. But you can begin to see that they were only tools of a really wicked, wicked organization. Because the devil has a wicked organization. And that organization was opposing them. The kingdom's carefully crafted snares and weapons are individually tailored to destroy each child of God. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, Paul tells us that we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. That's where our opposition is. You might think it's people. You might think people are a problem. But the Bible says that there are principalities and powers, wicked spirits, rulers of darkness that are behind all of that stuff. That's what was behind the persecution of Jesus. That was what was behind the persecution of all the prophets of the Old Testament. That was what was behind the persecution of the early Christians, who went through a lot of trouble as they established the works of Jesus and the kingdom of God. When they went forth preaching the word, God working with them, confirming the word with signs accompanying. You know, sometimes God can be doing wonderful, wonderful things through the ministry of people, and people still hate him. Sometimes you wonder, how can that be? But the reality is, people are people, and the devil is still the devil. And he many times uses them as tools to do his work. But the real problem is not the people. The real problem are the powers, the principalities, and the demons that are behind it. So you can be assured that, yes, you will get opposition. In this world, we have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So don't sweat the small stuff. If you're in trouble, you're in good company. Because all the saints that went before you went through it too. And Jesus himself faced that kind of opposition. But the good news is this. God has provided us with a divine covering to protect us from every attack of the enemy. He's your covering.
Amen.
He's provided it for you. Yes, you have to cooperate. Yes, you have to be part of the picture. Yes, you have to stand up and face the troubles and the problems and the situations and circumstances. But you can be sure he's going to be with you every step of the way. And you can be sure that his promises will still be true and sure and hold like an anchor holds a ship fast. That no weapon formed against you will succeed. No weapon meant to hurt you will succeed. Because God is on your side and Jesus is your friend. Praise the Lord. So this provision of God is commonly called the armor of God. It's listed in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17, and it includes these elements: the sturdy belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness, verse 14, for shoes, the peace that comes from the good news, verse 15, faith as your shield, verse 16, and salvation as your helmet and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, verse 17. So I'd like to switch over to the Passion Translation for a second and just go through some of these items of, I guess you would call it, spiritual warfare. Now, I know that term is used a little bit loosely in our generation. You know, spiritual warfare, there's lots of stuff goes on that's pretty crazy stuff. Some of it is maybe scriptural. Some of it is people doing stuff. So you have to kind of eat the hay and spit out the sticks. You know, I know there's a lot of ministries out there. There's a lot of things you can watch on the internet. There's tons and tons of information out there taught by many, many other people. But you have to be discerning. You have to have the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you and instructing you along the way, because there's a lot of stuff out there. And some of it's right and some of it's not right. But God will help you sort out the deal so that you can understand what really is going on. And if you seek him, if you've got questions about something, he's not beyond you asking questions, because he has plenty of answers. And sometimes you see how it seems like the answers aren't coming fast enough, and maybe there's confusion and whatever. But the Bible says, you know, that where confusion usually comes from is envy and strife. Because envy and strife opens the door for confusion and every kind of evil work. So one of the main ways to be prepared for having the right kind of discernment and when stuff is going on is to stay out of envy and strife so that confusion and evil don't overtake. It's a project, but you have to be on top of it and not be part of the envy and strife, because that will knock you down. That will take you out. Because God designed you to stand fast in his word. He says, stand fast in the liberty with which Christ has set you free, and don't be entangled again with the yokes of bondage. Almost every kind of yoke of bondage that we ever get entangled in comes from envy and strife. Because it's the root. I know the money, the Bible says, that the love of money is the root of all evil, and I'm not taken away from the truth of that, but probably next to that, envy and strife is the root, is the next biggest root of evil, because it gets people into huge, huge problems. Anyway, let's look at these items of spiritual warfare, if you want to call it that. He says, "Oh, my beloved," this is verse 10, I'm reading out of TPT, the Passion Translation, just because I really liked how they phrase these things. He said, "Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last." Now, that should tell you something, right? I've saved the most important truths for last. What does that mean? That means listen up, man. Because I have something to tell you. I have something big to tell you. And I've saved it for last so that you remember it. So, in other words, you can forget the rest of, more or less, you can forget the rest of what I said, but you better take this home with you. Amen? Okay, so then he says, "Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus." Wow. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Now, this next month, we're going to launch into a study of the book of Ephesians. The idea of this is not that you have never read the book of Ephesians, maybe seen studies on Ephesians, seen, you know, maybe you've done a scholarly research on the book of Ephesians. But the idea behind this is, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you individually from this book? What is he speaking to your heart? What's he highlighting for you? You know, for each of us, we're each in a different place. Some of us have been saved a long time. Some of us just recently. Some of us have been in and out, up and down. So we're all at different places spiritually. We're all at different places naturally. We're all at different arenas of life. You know, some of us are in our sunset years, some of us are in our beginning years. So we're all at different places in what we have to face, the challenges ahead, the things that we've got before us, in our ministry, all of those things. So the Holy Spirit has to minister to each of us individually in addition to ministering to us corporately. Now, I have nothing against teaching, because primarily that's my gift, teaching, gift of teaching. It's probably the primary office that I'm in is to teach. But you can't live off of somebody else's revelation. You can't live off of my revelation. I can share my revelation of God's word with you, but you can't live off of it. And I can teach you till the cows come home, as they used to say where I grew up. And you may never get it. But if the Holy Spirit speaks something to your heart and it becomes a revelation to you, you got it. It's yours. It belongs to you. It doesn't matter who said it. Doesn't matter who repeated it. If it came from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit quickened it to your heart, you got it. It's yours. You can repeat it. You don't have to quote anybody. It's yours. It's original to you. Because it's your revelation. But there's so many people that are trying to live off of somebody else's revelation. You know, somebody taught them how to cast out devils, so now they're living off of that revelation, but then they run into some devils they can't cast out. The Bible writes about it. You know, they're the sons of Sceva. They were living off of Paul's revelation. And the demon said, "Peter, I know. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, but who are you?" And those boys went out streaking. And bloody. Because they couldn't handle it with somebody else's revelation. You have to have your own revelation. So when we get into this book of Ephesians, I hope you have that in your heart. You know, God is going to speak to me. The Holy Spirit is going to touch my heart. He's going to highlight some things to me, and I'm going to have some revelation from God that's mine, that I can take into my life, that I can apply to my life and that I can walk with and live by. Revelation from God. It's mine. Praise the Lord. So that was maybe a little off track, but this says, be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. It's got to be about him and his relationship with you and your relationship with him in order for it to work in your life. Because if it's about anything else, if it's about somebody's system, somebody's methods, or somebody's denomination, it's going to be secondhand to you. And it's not going to be really yours. You can't live by that. You can't live that way. You can't grow that way. You can't be who God calls you to be that way. You can only be that way when it's infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Going on from there, it says, stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Jesus didn't create you to be a loser, to be the biggest loser, for the devil to be bigger than anything in your life. He created you to be victorious. He said, you'll have trouble in the world, but be assured, I came to give you life, and I came to give it to you abundantly, and I have overcome the world, so don't sweat the small stuff. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power. A little while ago, Aliyah and Ali were talking about the explosiveness of 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit temperatures in lightning that cause thunder. That's minor stuff compared to what God does when he's explosively moving through you with his mighty power. No wonder sometimes people can't stand up under the power of God. Because his power and his might is overwhelming sometimes. So let it flow through you, in you and through you, in you and through you. In you, so that you have the victory in your own life. Through you, so that you can bring victory to somebody else. If you're here just for yourself, you might as well go home today and just forget about the whole thing. Because if this is not about me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity, this is about somebody else out there that's desperate, somebody else that's hungry, somebody else that's humble, somebody else that's teachable. I know there's a lot of people that want to hang around the things of gospel, and they want to get all the benefits of it, but they don't really want to be in it. They don't really want to be for it. And they don't really want to be moving in it. I can't help it that those people are there. I hope that their hearts change. But you got to really want it. You got to really be humble. Because sometimes stuff happens to people in church that's humbling. But be humble. Take it like a good soldier. You know, when you're in the army, they don't give you a lot of choices. They give you orders. And the Bible, in a lot of places, compared the body of Christ to an army. You're in the army now. And maybe you're in boot camp now. In boot camp, they don't give you a lot of choices. They don't, you know, they just give you orders. And they say it like this, I guess. You know, I wasn't in the army. My brother was. But they said, there's your way, and there's my way, and then there's the army's way. And you don't get a choice of which you do on any particular day. It's the army's way. So you'll be tested. You'll be tried. But don't sweat it. Jesus is with you. He'll be in you, and he'll flow through you. If you'll just remember, he's the boss. He's the commander in chief. And he loves you. And he cares about you. And it's going to come out all right on the end. Then it says in verse 11, put on God's complete set of armor. There's nothing worse than being half armed. having half of the weapons or only using them halfway. He said, put on the complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. As you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. I'm repeating that not just because I am stuttering. The devil has some strategies. He's the accuser of the brothers. So if he's whispering things in your ears or sending people around you to talk, it's his strategy. That's how he works. One of the main ways he works is to get you to question God, because he questions God. Did God really say that? Did he really tell you that? You were just hearing things. That wasn't God. It said that in the Bible. Did it really say that? Did it mean that? Maybe it meant something else. Maybe it's a bad translation. Maybe you just don't understand. You know, you're not a scholar. You're not a Bible scholar. You can't figure this out on your own. You need somebody to tell you, to show you how this works. Did he really say? But if you remember, that's exactly what he did in the Garden of Eden. Do you know why he came to Eve and not to Adam? Have you ever thought about that? Why did the devil speak to Eve and not to Adam? I can tell you why. Because she wasn't there when God said, don't eat of that tree. She only heard it from Adam. It was secondhand information for her. But Adam was right there with her, and he didn't say a word. He didn't say, no, Eve, God said. He just said, yeah, I guess that fruit does look good, doesn't it? But the devil hasn't changed his tactics yet. He gets you to question God. He gets you to question God's word. He gets you to second-guess leadership and all kinds of things. And then he gets you into strife and envy and confusion and evil comes. And then you wonder, why am I this mess? Why is my life messed up? Why can't I get this right? Why can't I help myself? The solution is right here. He said, don't forget any pieces of the armor. Put on all the armor. He said, verse 12 says, your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in the rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. So you wonder what your problem is? You got an enemy. Yes, he is formidable, but he's not undefeatable. Because he's already been defeated at the cross. The Bible says Jesus spoiled the principalities and powers, made a public spectacle of them, and he triumphed over them in it. So what does that mean? That means because Jesus did that, those demon powers should never have rule over you again. Amen? Because he whooped them, and it made a spectacle of them. But the reality is we still have to contend with them, because they didn't die when Jesus went to heaven. They're still here on earth, causing problems, causing troubles, causing havoc, and accusing the brothers. Our enemies, highest principalities, authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms, powerful class of demon gods, evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. And sometimes we fall into it just because we're ignorant. Sometimes we just fall into it because we're just lazy. Sometimes we fall into it because we're looking the other way and it blindsides us, and sometimes we fall into it just because he just attacks. Because of this, verse 13 says, you must wear all the armor that God provides you so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. You are destined for all things and will rise victorious. God has a plan for your life. You know, they used to tell us that when they're trying to win us to Jesus. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Everything will be okay. Just say yes to Jesus. Everything will be fine. And then you come to Jesus and you find out everything is not so fine. Everything is upside down. I got more problems now than I ever had before. I was fine before. And now I got this Jesus and now it's all upside down. They lied to me. It didn't all go away. Everything didn't become right. Well, it's kind of like a half-truth. You know, when you come to Jesus, it's going to be all right. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have to face some things. You're going to have to face some of the stuff that you did. You're going to have to face some of the things that happened to you. You're going to have to face some of the decisions that you made that are bringing consequences and so forth and so on. And he will help you through all of those things because he wants you to be victorious and he wants you to be more than a conqueror like he designed you to be. But it's not without a struggle, a fight. Sometimes it's called a wrestling. Paul said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in the heavenly places. It's a wrestling. So, what should we do? You are destined for all things and will rise victorious. So put on the truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as a protective armor that covers your heart. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you. You know, nothing dispels lies like the truth. If the devil is lying to you, bring the truth on. And his lies get exposed. And it becomes clear to you. Confusion goes. Put on holiness as a protective armor that covers your heart. You have to protect your heart. The Bible says you should guard your heart because out of it it's a wellspring of life. So there are some things you have to do to protect yourself. There may be some relationships that you need to get rid of. There may be some things that you need to do to protect yourself from others who have wrong motives against you and so forth and so on. But you have to protect your heart. You have to guard your heart. You have to guard your heart against the evil that's around you in this world because there's all kinds of things that can blindside you. And there's so many things that we just take for granted. You know, well, this is the world. It's just like this. You know, we're surrounded with all of this stuff, and it's a lot of it's sinful. A lot of it is wrong. But we've just kind of accepted it because that's how it is. But you're a believer now. You're in the army now. You have to protect yourself from that stuff. And if some things bother you more than others or some things plague you more than others, you have to take action to guard your heart. Because that's the sacred place where God lives. It's the Holy of Holies. That's the new temple. You know, God doesn't live in temples made with human hands. He lives in the temple he made with his own hands. That's you, your heart. You have to protect that. Have I done that perfectly? No, I have not. Has anyone done it perfectly? Yes, one person, Jesus. Yes. He did it perfectly. And he did it for you. So that you could live in righteousness and true holiness just like him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 15, stand on your feet alert so that you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. You know, we call it the shoes of the gospel of peace, and sometimes we think, oh my goodness, what does that mean? Stand on your feet alert. Everybody say alert.
Alert.
That means awake. Alert. And then you'll be ready to share the blessings of peace. The gospel of peace is something that's taken to somebody else. And if you're alert, you can minister to other folks. You say, well, I haven't been born again that long. It doesn't matter. You can minister what you've got. Amen? If you know something about Jesus, you know something more than somebody else that never had anything about Jesus. Amen? And you need to stand alert and be ready to share that. You have some kind of a testimony. It might be that you were the good boy or the good girl that never did anything wrong. Praise God. There maybe are some people like that. But most of us came up the other way. We had plenty of wrong things that had to turn around in our lives because we were going the wrong direction, 180 degrees, and God turned us around. Amen? It's your testimony. And your testimony can bring blessing in the lives of other people. So be alert and be ready. Verse 16, in every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it's able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. This is so important. You have a shield of faith, but if you don't deploy the shield of faith, the blazing arrows will get you right in the center of your heart. It might be another person sending the arrow. It might be the devil using some person to send the arrow. It might be some other kind of thing, or it might be just the blazing arrows are hitting you. But you have a shield called faith. And if you don't know anything about faith, you better spend some time learning about faith, because this is really, really necessary in your body armor, the shield of faith. Praise the Lord. I love to teach on faith, but I could go the rest of the day on faith, but we can't do that right here. Verse 18, embrace, 17 and 18, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take a mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Take up the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Use it effectively. Use it powerfully. You don't have to know every scripture in the Bible, but there are some scriptures that will save your life. And if you'll use them like a razor-sharp sword, you will be protected from every attack of the enemy. Praise the Lord. And then it says, pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every prayer and at all times. Looks like I had to switch to this one here. And pray also that God's revelation will be released through me every time I preach the wonderful mystery of the hope-filled gospel. Yes, pray that I may preach the wonderful news of God's kingdom with bold freedom at every opportunity, even though I am chained as a prisoner and I am an ambassador. You see, Paul had some problems. He had some troubles. He had some situations, but he didn't let any of that stop him. In fact, he said in one place, I don't let any of these things move me. So be like that. Be tough. Be strong. Be powerful. But don't do it without the armor of God. You need the armor. Praise the Lord. So, standing with this mighty armor and wielding the powerful weapon of God's word, we have strength to pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Spirit, positioning ourselves firmly on the promises of God until the devil flees. No matter what weapon the enemy has forged against you, it will not prosper. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now that we have victory in Jesus. We have victory by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, that your fresh anointing would destroy the yokes and lift the burdens, Lord, of every person under the sound of my voice in this place, those watching online, Father God, those that are catching up on the podcast. We ask you, Lord, that in Jesus' name and by the power of his blood, you will raise them up to be the supernatural beings that you created them to be, overcomers by the blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary, and the words of their testimony, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for giving them the right words to speak. for quickening the gospel, for quickening the word of God inside of them, and Holy Spirit for highlighting these passages of scripture so that they can see them in a new light and apply them to their life. I praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. I thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. And I thank you especially, Lord, for your supernatural protection that you've provided for every member of the body of Christ. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, help us to rise up and utilize every bit of that protection for your glory, for your honor, and for the world that's lost and needs to find you. And for it, we thank you and we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to dismiss those online. Thank you for joining us today, those in Cuba, those in some of the other countries that are watching us, catching up with us. We bless you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for joining us. Those of you who are local, we encourage you to join us in person because COVID is dead. You can come back now in Jesus' name. You don't need to be afraid. We're not masking up, and we're not going in the basement. So come and see us in person because we love you, and I think maybe we can help you. And if we can't, I'm sure that you can find a place that will. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.